Welcome to the second semester of our Limud Masechtas Gittin. And essentially, you know, they joke that in Chafetz Chaim they learn slowly, so it takes the whole year to get out of the box, or it takes the first few weeks to get out of the box, the first box in the beginning of the Masechta. So officially, we're a little bit slower than that, because we're basically doing one word a semester. Because last semester, we basically talked about the Kosov. And this semester, or at least the beginning, I don't want to necessarily take the whole semester, but I'd like to talk about the Nasan. So we began, the Zman, talking about the Pasuk in Parshas Kiseitse, which tells us about the mitzvah of Gerushin. We tried to figure out a little bit what it means to say there's a mitzvah of Gerushin, but there's somehow a parsha in the Torah that tells us that there are occasions when a marriage needs to come to an end. And if so, here's how it should happen. It should happen through the giving of a get. But that's a little bit of an oversimplification. And the language of the Torah is that when somebody does indeed find kimatzah ve'ervas davar, that was also something we had to spend some time figuring out, so I guess a little bit more than a word last semester, but figuring out every part of that pasuk, what is ervas davar, what does that mean as far as it being a condition for a divorce. But when that situation is in place, then v'kasov la sefer krisus. So he must write for her a sefer krisus. So we spent some time last semester establishing what the law means, the idea of lishma, how exactly lishma is defined when it comes to a get, what exactly connects it or separates it from other usages of lishma in the Torah. And we also ended up seeing that the notion of lishma is partially about defining the item as its own purpose, as being a get, as being a sefer krisus, but also the strong possibility that the actual writing of the get is a part of the divorce process. So trying to figure out exactly what constitutes the preparation and what constitutes the act, that was a big part of our focus. So understanding that the ksiva might have to be lishma, not only because we want to designate the item as a get, but also because the ksiva is a part of the process, is a part of the divorce itself. And that was brought in the context of understanding a number of halachos that were perhaps unique to the whole get concept. And that got us in also to Eide Mesira and Eide Chesima and the different places in the process where Eidus has particular importance and the status of a get as Davar Sheva Erva and therefore presumably requiring that higher standard of Eidus and establishing what exactly is going on. So a lot of those topics all surrounded that idea of v'kasov la, that the writing should be lishma. Why should it be lishma? Perhaps because it is actually not just the establishing of the get as an item, but it is the beginning of the process itself. When we saw various halachos that connected to that, the idea that there can't be a break between the ksiva and the nesina, the idea that if you wrote a get and then changed your mind, so what exactly are the implications there? What's the story with an old get? Various halachos, which all seem to connect to the idea that the ksiva itself may not just be a preparation, but may actually be a part of the process of divorce. And halachos such as, when do you count the 3 months of separation from? Do you go back to the time of the ksiva? Various points we discussed that all surrounded this idea of the kasavla. So with that, the transition into this man, I'd like to switch the focus to v'nasan biyada, and what exactly is the message there surrounding the nesina saget, and what exactly is the role that that plays in the process of divorce, and what dinim come out of that, and why do those dinim come out of that. So that's where we're going to launch from today, and presumably part of next week. How far are you guys getting the covers, by the way? Somewhere?
Five or something.
Okay.
The fourth one wasn't hard to find.
Yeah, so it's hard to find.
So we went to the fifth one.
Good move. Right, so you try to get a little bit of a sense. You know, these were all kind of comparable in importance. And one of the major themes we will end up moving to soon in this context of Nesina Saget, which is a major, major issue, both Lamaisa and conceptually, in the whole notion of get, and something which has major practical ramifications today. And there's a lot of interest expressed in understanding this a little better, so hopefully this man will be able to do that, is the role of Ratzon in get, the idea that the husband has to give the get willingly, and what exactly that means, practically speaking, especially because we're all aware that often there are situations today where a marriage ends up stuck because, say, the husband is not interested in giving the get willingly, and what kinds of complications that creates, and try to understand that both conceptually and practically, what that means. So, God willing, that's all on our agenda in the near future also, to try to all a part of this idea of the Nesina, how the Nesina has to take place, and that will be on our agenda in the near future. As I've mentioned, these Gemaras are kind of all over the Masechta, and many of them are also not in the Masechta. When we talk about that issue of Ratzon, we'll see that there, that topic and the topic of Kfiya Beget, of compelling a get, a lot of the important Gemaras are actually not in Gittin, so we'll have to be ready to travel around a little bit. I continue to emphasize that learning as much Bikiyas of Masechta's Gittin is going to be incredibly valuable, so to maintain your own schedule of knowing as much of this Masechta as possible will be crucial to being able to have a full mastery of these ideas. But for the sugyas that we're looking at topically, we're going to have to be floating around a little bit, both within Masechta's Gittin and without. So with that, so let's try to understand the role of Nesina. So just reading the pasuk, before you know anything else, so what would you say is the purpose of Nesina and the scope of Nesina? Caleb?
I'd say that really solidifies, and this is with some background knowledge from the Gemaras of the of Falzman, but that really solidifies it, that this is happening and really cuts the divorce.
Okay, saying it like that is interesting, because, well, he makes the divorce cut, maybe the word kares.
Yes, right. I was, and that once, well, as long as he's still writing it, it's still in his reshut, but the Nesina is when it goes from his reshut to her reshut, and instantly the divorce happens.
Okay, so that's interesting now, because it's a lot packed into what you said, so I want to hold off on that. Maybe there's a couple of different meanings in those words, so let's hold on to that. Let's see what some of the comments are first. Yeah, Yadidra?
Twofold, it's like the lishma for the woman, because it's, you have to give a lishma, but it's right, but she has to take it.
So does she, like, though? So that's something you're going to have to figure out.
Right. Yeah. Right, she started, but also it'd be like almost like she has proof. So it's like almost just like a shtaraya, like you have a proof.
So
this happened.
So, are we assuming that that's a part of the Din Min HaTorah, and that's a part of the purpose?
Possibly.
Okay, we'll have to see.
But it's just a transaction.
Okay, so we'll see. Shmuel?
I think like Nesina is emphasizing less the get aspect in the Gerushin, and more the other part of Gerushin, meaning not the get, but the giving, and like when you were saying to that before. Like when you were,
it sounds like you're making a point in English. You should not be all about getting, you should be about giving.
Yeah, like it's about
the marriage. It wasn't,
yeah, like, not maybe not so much her receiving, but him giving.
Right, so this is clear, by the way, you should remind yourselves that Min HaTorah, there is no obligation for her to agree. Me, Drabanan, and as a consequence of the Cheir and Drabanan Gershom, so we assume that she has to agree and that we can't divorce her with Baal Karcha. And it could be that even Min HaTorah, there's an Isser to do that, as we discussed also in the first man. Doesn't mean that it's right to divorce a wife against her will, even on a Torah level. But it's certainly possible. So we know that for the divorce to be functional, it doesn't require her actually intending to accept it. Okay?
It just seems, the pasuk seems to just have it as a requirement in order to actually have like some sort of transaction where now you're separated from, I mean, the woman's not separated from the man. That's the like most pashut shot of the pasuk.
It might be, but that's a loaded word. So
transaction.
Yeah, so what do you mean by transaction?
Well, meaning that initially when you had the marriage, it seems to be also a transaction.
Oh.
Because the father gives over his daughter to the man, who she's now marrying, and they become a husband and wife, they become one separate body from where she was before. So now it seems like he has to release her in that same way.
Okay, so that's an important question, right? That's something that we need to figure out if that's really true. You know, just parenthetically, just to emphasize, we talked about this the first month also, but to emphasize again, marriage, despite the language, is not the acquisition of the woman. We use the trappings of the Kenyan, we use the methodology of the Kenyan to formalize the relationship, but she is not being acquired, the relationship is being created, but it does happen through Kenyan, through both the details and the language of Kenyan. So what you're suggesting, and seems intuitive, we have to see if there's any truth to it, is that maybe the gap process is the opposite of that. So that first you under the chuppah, you give her a ring, and now you do something to reverse that transaction. So is that the case? So
or is it so reverse? It's more like you sell me a chair, and then I sell it back to you.
So is that what's happening? So that's something we're going to have to. Well, that. Okay, for the record, I don't think he meant to compare.
Yeah, no, I didn't either.
Right. No, the point is that if you're assuming that again, the Kenyan is only the methodology, it's not what's actually happening. But we know that we do have a methodology of Kenyan. So is the idea that okay, there's a Kenyan in, there's a Kenyan out? Is that what's happening? Now the language, the Mishnah in Kedushin has that, right? So that, and we talked about that also in the first man whether. Divorce is a kind of Kenyan. But what we need to clarify here is that even if we say that divorce is a Kenyan in the reverse, but does that mean that the Kenyan is a get? I have to be makna her a get? Is that what's happening? Is that the nasan biada? That's going to be a major question. Is that really what's happening? Yeah, sorry.
Well, it could be kind of reflected as like the idea in the second that followed the first pasuk in terms of her going and finding another man, she gave you whatever rights of a wife, the wife part of her maybe to the husband, and then she essentially takes that back and is then able to re-give it to someone else in a different marriage. It might be that element of it. Whatever I was giving to you, I now take back and reserve the right to give to someone else.
So that might be true, but and again, just like I said today, we have to clarify, it could be that divorce is itself sometimes of a Kenyan, but does that mean that that's what Vinasan Vyad is? You're making a Kenyan by giving her the get? That's a Kenyan? Does Vinasan make a Kenyan?
Well, she technically, I mean, when you think about it in terms of the fact that when if she's a younger girl, her father would give her away. Mm-hmm. And then she, when she gets a divorce, she'd take herself back. So it's not necessarily back to the original owner.
Correct. And in that unusual circumstance, it's not in the same direction.
Right.
Right. But either that question aside, let's assume even take as a given that there is a Kenyan happening. But is that what Vinasan Vyada is?
Guardian.
Is that the Kenyan? Is that
well, you can't, I mean, it could be, part of it could be the sense that, like, you can't really physically, you know, give someone, like, you buy an animal, you pull it, and that's your way of essentially taking the Kenyan.
Right,
it's
so very,
Kenyan. It's very hard.
Kenyanim in general are symbolic.
And even when it comes to a couple, we might say that there's a certain element of the what you can do in a marriage, and that's part of the element of chuppah, and therefore that's a way you can give it over. It's very hard to, like, take that back in a physical way in terms of creating the Kenyan. So this might be the way that we represent it.
So in general, Kenyanim are representational, right? In general, with most things, Kenyanim, some of them are very direct. We do a Kenyan Hagbar or Mashiach on an item. So that, interestingly, as the Rishonim point out, is not a method for Kedushin. But some types of Kenyanim are pretty direct. But for the most part, Kenyanim are symbolic. And for the most part, Kenyanim are a way of representing that there's dasya, that there's intent, and that is being symbolized through what we're doing.
Yeah.
So, given that that's true in general, but is that what Vinasan Vyad is telling us? Is it telling us?
Well, not if we don't need, if technically, according to the Torah, we don't need her opinion on this, and he just put the get in her rishus, then seemingly it's not that type of transaction, meaning that
okay.
She doesn't have any control.
All right, so you're hitting on a very important point. Okay, so that's something we're definitely going to have to try to figure out. So what David is saying there is one of the major issues that lurks underneath the surface, that it seems right away that there is a fundamental problem here, that two dinim min haTorah seem to clash with each other, that if it is true that a woman can be divorced bal karcha, and again by saying can here, I mean possible, not necessarily permitted. If the teacher says to you in third grade, you need to say, can I go to the bathroom or may I go? So the difference between can or may, so it could be that you may not divorce your wife bal karcha, but you can, meaning that it's effective while being still prohibited. So being that that part is still true, min ha-Torah, that before we get into any other haramim, that min ha-Torah is possible to divorce a wife bal karcha. So how can you make a kinyan bal karcha shel anyone? How can you force anyone to acquire something? This is a major, major issue in halacha in general, and this is a topic that comes up in a lot of places. We know that it's possible to make a kinyan on behalf of someone else, but those are under limited circumstances when it has to be established that it is a complete zchus for that person, it's a complete benefit for that person. Otherwise, it's highly complex to try to create a kinyan on behalf of another person. So if that's what's happening here, that there is this notion that you are giving her something, and that can happen against her will, so there's a fundamental clash there. And you're going to see that's going to turn up in trying to understand part of what's going on here. That's one of the major questions on the table. How could it be b'nas and b'yada, and that can happen bal karcha? So the second round, so we go to Caleb and Sam.
Well, isn't there a halacha that miha Torah, one is allowed to assemble a group of thugs and beat someone up till they sell, for the proper amount of money, sell something that the buyer wants to get. But midrabanan, we said you can't do that, and that it has to be from one's free will.
Not exactly. We're going to get to that because it's very important. You're talking about a sugya in Bava Basra, I imagine, which is going to be very important for us when we get into the Ratzon by Gat. So we will see that, Gemara. There's a lot that has to be clarified about that point. So I won't. There is a sugya similar to that, but a lot of the details we'll have to figure out. But again, in terms of that was talking about in terms of selling, and the assumption being that ultimately they come to do it willingly, and we'll see why that's true. So we don't know that Gemara yet, so we'll have to look at that later. But on the surface, to acquire something is going to require the person's das. That's in general a issue. And just parenthetically, I've been writing recently about Mechiras Chametz, so it's on my mind. This is one of the major issues in Mechiras Chametz, because the question of those who objected to the process, they didn't think it was genuine, they thought it was artificial, the parties weren't taking it seriously. So those who complained about this were equally concerned about the non-Jewish purchaser. That even if you were to say, no, I fully believe in Mechiras Chametz, I am selling it with full intent and commitment. But if the purchaser doesn't take it seriously, he doesn't know what's going on, and he thinks this is just some religious ritual that the Jews have to do, so then that might invalidate the whole thing. How can you sell something to somebody and have them not really believe they're acquiring it? And there are many halachos in the Mechiras Chametz, maybe we'll revisit this Pesach time, and we'll look at some of the overlapping points, that are all designed to make sure that the purchaser, not just that you as the Jew selling your chametz takes it seriously, but that nothing undermines the seriousness of the purchaser, because we don't have a way to transfer property to somebody else without their consent, and with not just their consent, without their full participation in the process. And probably we will, Pesach time, revisit that to see some of the connections here. So if that's the case, so this is a fundamental issue. You'll see this coming up in the next day or two, that we have to try to understand how could there be a transfer here and this be a din that does not require the consent of the recipient. Eric? Oh, I said sample. Sorry, Sam. Eric?
Yeah. I guess two. Like, one, just where you jump to receive, to her receiving it, but maybe you're not, you're giving it, but she's not receiving it, like, I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, but the question is, how does that happen? How does that work? Yeah, that's the problem. It seems to be true, right? But how is that? How could that
meaning, be? Maybe it's just the, like, it's not about her getting anything. It's about her, him notifying her, and this is the way in which he's notifying
okay,
her.
That's an interesting thought. So maybe, is that why? So let's keep that in mind.
Well, also, like, just in terms of, before even going there, like, why can't it be, I mean, maybe it could be, that, like, the whole concept in, like, Judaism with Kedushin is that there is such a thing as Gerushin. Yeah. So, like, it's almost like, I don't know if Al-Tanai is, like, the right way to describe it, but it's almost, like, baked into this marriage is her accepting, at least Midoraisa, that, like, this can work, or,
in a marriage, she doesn't have, like, just halach, like, not ideally or whatever.
You see, like, that's a part of the original Kiddushin, that, like, there's the escape clause?
Well, like I don't want to say unfortunate, but, like, I don't know.
I think that's going to be harder to sustain. I'll take the first after sentence, and maybe we'll come back to that.
Isn't that what the Kiddushin is all about? I mean, the Kiddushin does say that if I divorce you, I'm going to pay you this amount of money. So, I mean, there is an escape.
Well, midrabban. The ksuba is
right.
Always...
Oh, right. Kiddushin. Right. No, I'm saying, so we're adding that escape clause into the Kiddushin.
I mean, it's the ksuba. That's a midrabban for protect. So that doesn't necessarily...
If you connect...
Ksuba doesn't affect the buyer.
Yeah, that's on a separate track.
So if it's possible to do that, it seems it is built in.
Okay, let's see. But I'm gonna put more potential in the first half of your sentence, that maybe it's about informing her rather than giving her something, because we're going to have to figure out some kind of a way to thread this needle, that there's an asina here that doesn't seem to require her das. Eric?
Yeah, so I was actually going to say very similar to Sam on the second half, the one you didn't like so much. Mm-hmm. I think, I was thinking that also, it could be, it's possible, it could be tied into the pasuk, because the pasuk starts off, yeah, you get married, and then something happens, and you don't really find favor in her eyes, and there's a darera, and then you divorce her. So even the puzzle, like, seems to maybe imply that this is part of a step-by-step process, and that I was actually looking, over the week, I was doing Chazara on, like, the Mishnah that I felt the first Mishnah did, and so confused about like, what it's talking about. The last Mishnah of the Mishnah,
right.
And it seemed to be that, as I looked more and more, it seemed to be more and more that it was a mitzvah to divorce. And it seems that once you get to a certain point, once you break, like, what kiddushin is, kiddushin is the necessary step afterwards. So it's part of the process. In the same way that if I had a business agreement, right, and I said whenever I want out, I get to get out. Like, you know, maybe you don't have that right, and for some whatever reason, the power balance, I have the right to get out. When I want, so you can effectively end the business partnership when you want. Maybe the other person can't because of the details, but I think that's implicit in the idea of kiddushin is the reality that there is gerushin. I think that might be part of the reason.
Okay, we'll have to see if that's true, but I think you're also maybe trying to explain a different detail. So just in terms of the role of the nesina here, where we're trying to zero in, and just to kind of lay out our map so far. So I think from what we've heard so far, or at least what I'm choosing to focus on, what we've heard so far, is, let's say, three possibilities at least for what the role of the nesina is. That maybe there is a kinyan here, maybe divorce itself is a kinyan, and maybe the transferring of the get is a kinyan. But we'll see a number of challenges to that, and the main one that we've mentioned so far is that a kinyan really requires the participation of both parties. And min ha-Torah, that's not the case here. And that's one of many questions that's going to be there when we talk about this as a kinyan, but that's one possibility. Another possibility is that maybe it's something less than a kinyan or something different than a kinyan. So when Sam said that maybe it's about informing her, so maybe we'll hold on to that as a possibility. Could be it's other things also. But maybe the v'nasan b'yada is not telling you about a kinyan, it's telling you some other purpose in the fact that you are giving her this message. And you talk about informing her, so especially if we focus on a Bal Korcha model, it has a little bit the image of when somebody gets served a subpoena, and so he wants to hide from it, but then they find some way to trick the guy into receiving it, and whole points is just you have to be informed, even if you don't want to be informed, but just informed. So maybe that's what's going on, and maybe there's some significant analogy there, that it's basically like serving somebody a subpoena. Okay, we need to make sure that you got this, but even if you're not interested in getting it, doesn't matter, but we say, okay, you've been served. Is that essentially the model of the get? I think that's something to think about. And maybe a third possibility that we'll put out there is what I wanted to seize on what Caleb said at the beginning. I don't know if that's what you meant, but what if we were to say that, flip things around from what we said last month. That last month we started off with the assumption that the process of the divorce is the giving of the get. And writing it was presumably just to prepare that which is going to be given. And we, bit by bit, saw that maybe it's more than that, and that maybe the ksiva is actually a significant part of the process. It's not just the preparation, but it is a part of the process. So what if we now shifted things over the other way and say, what if really the writing of the get is pretty much the whole process, or most of the process? It's just that, since we know it's possible for a person to write a get and change his mind, and other things could happen, so they're not actually divorced until it's been delivered. But essentially, it's the creation of the get that is the divorce, but that doesn't actually become real until it's been given to her. So I don't know if that's what you meant, but I'm seizing that in your language. We started off by saying, solidifying, that maybe that's perhaps the case. And to use a rough analogy there also, just we talked last month about mitzvah l'chaim divrei hames, and the idea a lot of the Rishonim had, that it has to be put in escrow, whatever you're trying to distribute after you die, has to be in someone else's hands first. And we noted that some understood that maybe that's just for the purpose of making sure that it's the end process. That people say a lot of things about their hopes after they die when they're alive, and we don't know what really represents their final plans. But when there's a step that's taken to concretize things, so then that shifts it over. So maybe the divorce really is the writing of the get. And the venasan is what actually just shows you that this was serious and it's actually happened. Okay, Caleb and Sam.
So I guess you did a very good job of explaining what I was saying. I think the one thing that, if I may add to that, was we briefly looked at perhaps comparing the two steps of kiddushin and the two steps of gerushin. So I would say here that Netina is a very dark parallel to kiddushin, in that kiddushin is what really formalizes the relationship, and then chuppah is what allows them to have yichud and to live together and to live as a married couple. But they're married by erusin.
You're right. We did mention that.
And then at that point,
a parallel.
At that point, she's an eshet ish, and they're married. They're just not living together. Whereas with ketiva, sort of undoes though temporarily in order to allow for them to be able to reunite. Ketiva does sort of undo the step of chuppah, though you're able to go back on that easily, which is what's nice. Whereas Netina really is, as I said, that dark parallel to kiddushin, which
you're right,
is what
that we
finally
did.
Severs.
Right, so we did discuss that last month, so maybe there's some kind of parallel there. That just like kiddushin essentially has two phases to it, even though it's not marriage until the nisuin is done, but there's some implications of kiddushin. So maybe there is some kind of a parallel there, though it's going to be hard to make it exact. But there's some kind of parallel with the get also, that we saw that there are some dinim, at least according to some opinions, that seem to kick in with the ksiva. So maybe that's kind of like the erusin of marriage, and the process isn't finished until the actual giving. So is that another? Is that a fourth possibility? Perhaps. Yes.
I guess two things. First, the second one,
mm-hmm.
or the third.
Second one.
First, the opinion. The first opinion Kalev gave.
Yeah.
It seems to be that it's not another like completely different suggestion, but like another way of, like we mentioned that one is it could be that it's not a kinyan, but it's something else. So this seems to be like another. It's something else. Not a fundamentally different.
Okay, right.
Like it's they both fit under that.
Right.
It could be something else. It could be
everything.
It could be something else.
All the other possibilities might be separate from Kenyan.
Uh-huh.
Right.
Why, like, I mean, maybe just like halachically it wouldn't make sense. But I guess without knowing the full background, like, is it impossible to say that it is true that most Kenyanim can be done by Karkov, but there are some are, and this is
no.
An
in
example.
General, a Kenyan requires the participation.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying in general, what yeah. like, why is it impossible to say that this is an anomaly?
It's challenging. I mean, it's clearly got something going on, but the question is, and we'll see that some of the possibilities are going to have to settle it somehow. So, but the question is, maybe this isn't a Kenyan, or maybe it's some kind of a quasi Kenyan. And that's something we'll have to see a little bit more of the possibilities. Okay, so with that, so putting that on the table, right, that apparently the Torah is telling us to do something with the get, and we're not sure if it's telling us to make a kinyan with the get, or if it's telling us something that's not about hilchos kinyanim, but is transferring for another purpose, Or maybe it's just telling us that this is really just the end of the divorce process and just making it official, and it's just a way of closing it off. So let's keep that in mind as we'll see some of the dinim and some of the other challenges that emerge from some of these dinim. So I gave you some makaris this morning to see some of the places in Chazal where there is a din that's derived from the Nasan. And some of them bring biyada into it, some of them focus on the Nasan. But there are a number of halachos which we'll have to try to figure out if they're all coming from the same place, but they all seem to connect to the same word. Sometimes it's in the Gemara, sometimes it's in the Rishonim, and sometimes it's disputed. But there are dinim that seem to connect to the Nasan. In some cases, it narrows the scope of how the process can happen, and other times it expands it. Basically, you call it Lakula Mechumra. There are dinim that come out of here that tell you both more than you would have thought and less than you would have thought without it. So help me out here. What are some dinim, either from the Gemara or from the Rishonim, that are introduced because of the Nasan? What did you see? Tell me some possible dinim that connect to this. You want to throw out any? Well, how about throwing out any? Is that all right? So, yeah?
Dinim that have to do with Nisino?
Yeah, that come from Vinasan.
You have to, the husband has to either give it to her or, but not just her, like her hand specifically, but it could be any of her domain.
Okay, so that's a kula, so to speak, right? So one of the expansions that Vinasan Biyada tells us is that it doesn't have to be her literal hand. And it can be various places within her rishus. So the Gemara especially, and Ayin Zayin, right after the Mishnah, tells us this, and connects us to this halacha. Let's take a look for a second. All right, so let's go to the beginning here of the 8th parak, Ayin Zayin Amud Aleph. So the Gemara talks about this, so let's throw this out, right? So Hazorik. Hazorik gev yishto. Vihi besoch beso, besoch hatsera, harezu migareshes. So you can throw it to her, and you can throw it to her rishos. Zarkuba, besoch beso, besoch hatsera, afilu hi imabimita, ene migareshes, besoch heiko, besoch chaloser, is migareshes. So the idea that you can be thrown into her rishos. So let's look at the first line of the Gemara here. So the Gemara says, Menani mili. So how do you know such a thing? The Tana Rabbanan, the Nasan viyada. So you have to put it in her hand. Ein li ela yada. So maybe that's only true about her actual physical hand. Gaga chatzera bekarpipa minayin. So how do you know that it can go also on her roof? How do you know that it can go in her courtyard? How do you know that it can go in her enclosure? How do you know all that works? Talmud Lomar v'nasan mikol makom. So because the Torah says v'nasan, so that is apparently expanding. That's apparently telling us that it has a scope that doesn't mean literally her hand, but that it's about giving it to her, and this is to her. So just before questions, if you look at Rashi, so Rashi is interesting here. Talmud Lomar v'nasan mikol makom. So what does that mean? V'darshinu le ba'anpe napshe. So we darshin the word v'nasan by itself. V'amidoloksiv uviyoda yitnenu. Very interesting point that Rashi is telling us here. That we would have thought that if it meant the literal hand, the words would have been switched. That there would have been a focus on hand first. Uviyoda yitnenu. So since it doesn't say that, since it says v'nasan biyada, same words essentially, but switched around, what does that tell us? Mashmalan nisina koldu. So that really it's about the giving. It's not about her hand. V'yada dekasav rachmana deba'inen dunmi yada. So the idea that yad is mentioned does not therefore have to mean literal yad, but it means that something comparable to her hand not her literal hand, but something comparable to that, the Mishtameres Lidaita, that she's aware of, that is protected as if it was in her literal hand. So that is an interesting drasha here from this Vinasa and the way Rashi understands it. If you look at the Talmud Yerushalmi, it explains this din a little bit differently, so we'll come back to that, but that was also on the list. So keep in mind to take a look at how the Talmud Yerushalmi has this derivation that's going to be significant. Now, just to mention while we're here on this daf here in Ayin Zayin, so the Gemara mentions here a fascinating concept, which is going to be very, very crucial to us, that on the top of the top of Ayin Zayin Amud Beis, a few lines past this, so the Gemara asks a very crucial question here about how could the whole process of giving a get work? And this is one of the major challenges that we're going to have to address together with the whole issue of Bal Karcha. So he said that's a fundamental challenge to the idea of being machne something to anybody. How could it exist Bal Karcha? But there's another challenge here. What's the challenge? That how is it possible for a husband to give away anything to his wife? Don't tell her that on her birthday or anniversary. But how can you ever give a gift to your wife in the technical legal sense? Because since he acquires whatever she acquires, so it's just going to be bouncing back. How is the whole concept possible? So the Gemara asks this question here. And so the Gemara says, Rava Amar Atu Yada Mila Kanya Lubal. And so then if this opinion here isn't that going back to the husband, so here's a crucial concept we're going to have to come back and understand a little bit later. Ella Gita Viyada Bain Ke'echad. And so apparently these two things, the miracle of quantum physics, these two things, quantum halacha, these two things happen simultaneously. And she becomes independent to acquire the get that gives her independence. And it makes your head explode. The two things happening at the same time. At that same moment that she is able to acquire anything, that happens because of what she acquired.
Shortage
is good. Yeah, essentially. So what exactly is going on here? So this concept is something we're going to have to understand. It is clearly intermixed with all these issues we've seen so far, right, that there's a fundamental issue in being machne or giving anything to the wife. So we have to figure that out. And then the Gemara continues because the context here was chatzer. So how did she have her own chatzer? So achanami gita v'chatzera v'ayin ke'echad. So too, when it comes to her chatzer and it being hers, so that happens together simultaneously with the receiving of the get. Eric?
So like that, I mean, I feel like it's easier to say with the yada because like I can tell which is her hand and not her hand. But then how am I going to define what's a chatzer and not a chatzer if we have the same property? Like,
okay.
Is it only defined by like maybe we're already living separately and that was that, or like we have some sort of established outlines already?
Okay,
like,
so those details are important, but we'll come back to that. But right now, just to keep our eye on the prize. So the notion of this simultaneous independence and cause of independence. The thing enables itself, which is a fundamental challenge. Now, just to give you an example of how difficult it is, so there is a discussion in Hilchos Shabbos, which is also going to be increasingly important nowadays, that the Gemara, well, we know that there is a rule that if somebody triggers something indirectly, davar she'eino miskaven, but he's not interested in it, it's a lo nichale, so then that lowers the level of issue, whether it lowers it to nothing or lowers it to the rabbanan, it's the whole story, but in general, if you don't want the action to happen, so then it's on a different level. So contemporary poskim discussed at great length, what happens if you don't want something to happen because it's an aveir, because it's chol shabbos. So is that called not wanting it? So that, without getting into all the details the Gemara compares to, because it'll take a little bit longer time, I can tell you where to look if you want, but some point to a Gemara which seems to suggest that that should be impossible, because how could it be that the freedom and the problem come at the same time? That because you don't want it to happen, that's why it's okay, and that's why it's not Nevir. So there's a fundamental challenge there. Right? So here we're going to say that she's able to acquire it because she's divorced, but she's only divorced if she can acquire it, and somehow that happens at the same time. We'll have to try to understand that. Eric?
I saw a similar thing, which still bothers me. I still haven't got an answer at length, but it's weird. I think it's in Ksuvos, and it's Tosfos, and it talks about the idea of, I don't know what it's called, whatever. Basically, the idea is, like, if you have a certain part of, like, the lul restaurant and had, like, berries on it, I forgot which part of it, maybe, like, rubbish or something,
yeah,
and Tosfos discusses that you can't take the berries off. You could take it off, like, during, like, most parts of the year, because, like, and you're just eating the berries. It's fine. But closer to Sukkot, it would be considered an issue because you're making it ready for lulav. Then they say it's okay because you're making it ready for mitzvah. And that would allow it. But the whole problem is that you're making it to a separate thing for mitzvah, but also mitzvah isn't going to save it. And so I don't...
So how do these... So right. Yeah. So there are circular things here. So how exactly does that work? So that gets added to our list.
Ravari gave a mashal. He's like, you go to court and you killed your parents. And then you'd say to the court, like, oh, you should have mercy on me, I'm an orphan.
An orphan, it's the classic definition of chutzpah. It's the definition of chutzpah. So, this has been added to our list. Right? So, we have the fundamental conceptual challenge here of how can there be a kinyan against her will. That's inherently a problem with every get, if you deal with the Din and HaTorah. And now you have this also, this what the Gemara is telling us is an answer to a problem, but it's a mysterious answer. So, we have to figure that also. How could it be that... What's the mechanics of that? So that's something we'll also have to try to figure out. Now, on Daf Chaf, there are a number of dinim here. See how many we can get into today, and then we'll have to see where this is going to take us next time. But there are a number of dinim on Daf Chaf and Chaf and Medveis that surround this that are particularly interesting also. And whether they're all connected to Vinasan or not is a little bit of a question of itself. So if you look on Chaf and Mitbeis, about a third of the way down, the Gemara says, Gemara has a couple of different possibilities. We'll look at the first one here first. Tana Rabbanan, Hareza Giteich V'Haniyar Shili. So let's say the husband says, he's really cheap, and that's maybe why they're getting divorced in the first place. He doesn't want to give her anything. So he says that here is your get, and the paper is still mine. I'm holding on to the paper. So, and by the way, just parenthetically, this is also something that might be connected to Vinasan, but the Gemara doesn't spell it out, but it sounds like it is, that you maybe also saw the Gemara in Sota, that Sefer Krisus, so you would think that a Sefer has a definition in Halacha. Now, what is a Sefer normally? Sefer has standards, cloth, and it's got to be like a Sefer Torah. But when it comes to a get, so we don't require that it actually be on cloth, and it can be on much flimsier things and much more creative kind of things. So that, the Gemara doesn't spell it out the Feirish, but the Gemara says in Sota that there seems to be some kind of changing what you would have expected, that the literal definition of Sefer you would have thought would require a cloth. And here, halacha keves, as Hamikra Gemara says, the halacha, the practice, comes and changes what the pasuk seems to imply. But it seems to be that that's also connected to the nasan, that what the Torah is really focusing on is that it's something you can give. So if there are other things that you can give, then it doesn't have to actually be like a Sefer Torah in terms of its standards. So that helps to come to find what a Sefer means in the context of the get. So that's also perhaps relevant. But in any event, so here, the Gemara says that maybe you're using cheap paper, not necessarily using cloth, where we could maybe have a little bit more Rachmanis, but you're using cheap paper, and you say, here's your get, and I'm keeping the paper. So there's going to be some in-between cases where we're not sure, but the Gemara says, that one we know is no good. So why is it no good? What's the problem? Yes?
He's not giving her anything physical.
Okay, so if you look at Rashi, that's essentially what Rashi says. And why do you assume that he has to give her anything physical to him?
I was just going to say the word giving implies something physical, transfer.
To give something, right? So that sounds intuitive. And that's what Rashi sounds like he's saying here also. So Rashi looked towards the top of the page. Eni Megoresh says, Dekevan Diniyar Shalo, since those paper is still his, lo nasan laklum, so he didn't give her anything. Dinimtsu Osios Parchas Ba'aver. Because it seems that the letters are just floating on the air. It's just giving her letters, letters that are totally intangible. That phrase you may be familiar with, so Gemara uses that phrase in a much more poetic and kind of resonant way. You're talking about the Sefer Torah that was burning, and it says, Gyulinus Rachim Borchis Grosius Parchas Ba'aver. So here Rashi is borrowing that phrase in a different context. They're saying essentially you're giving her floating letters. It's completely intangible. Letters are not anything. And there's no Messina. So presumably he's talking about the fact that the Pasuk uses the word Messina, and there isn't anything that is being given here. So you guys guessed that. That's the intuitive interpretation of what this Gemara is talking about. What's very striking is, and this is something I put on the list, maybe you saw this, that did you see the way the Rambam brings the Salacha? Don't get a chance to see that? So the Rambam has a different formulation. And the Rambam brings this in that the reason it's not effective, again, where the husband says, I'm holding on to the paper, is because it's not krisis. Because it still connects her somehow since he's holding on to something. So there isn't an actual severance there, and that's the issue. So is there a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam? That Rashi is saying the din of Nesina would require you're actually giving something physical? And the Rambam doesn't think that's the case. That's something we'll have to figure out.
What is the Rambam saying?
The Rambam says the reason that this din is true, that ain't in the Gureshas, is because it's no krisus, there's a lack of severance. She's still connected to him. Now, just to see for 1 second, so you see the Gemara goes on to give more cases which come in between. So let's say, for example, a guy gets a little bit weirder, and he says, Almanach should taziri less, and first the other extreme, not so weird yet. Almanach should taziri less, and they are harezim agreshes. That is, I'm giving this to you now, but you have to give me back the paper later, so then that does work. So maybe according to Rashi, we could see why, okay, because you did an Asina, even though it ends up being.
What difference does it get in her hand being that she decides if it's divorced or not? Because by giving it back, that's when the divorce would occur.
Oh, so does that matter? That's an interesting question. How much should we worry about that? So that's something that's interesting to think about, because we'll also see that there's another level here of Nesina that we're going to have to try to relate to. So hold on a second. So first, the Gemara mentions these two extremes, right? That if you say the paper's mine, no good. If you say, here, take it, but give me back the paper, that is effective. But what about the middle of a Bairuf Papa? Bein shita l'shita, bein teva l'teva, mine. So what if you say that, okay, that where the letters are, so that is effective. I mean, that's yours. You get the actual part where there's ink. But the spaces in between, the blank spaces, I'm holding on to those. These people really clearly had a complex relationship and they're keeping score on everything. Right? So he says he's holding on to the blank spaces in between the words. So that's a suffix. Now what's that suffix about? It's interesting. So Rav Asher Weiss illustrated it as follows. That, you know, presumably, let's say a guy took a big piece of paper and he wrote the get in a corner of it. And he said, okay, here, the get is yours, but I'm keeping the other corner of the paper. So presumably that is good because you gave her the full get. It's just also, there's a part of it that's not including any of the get that you're holding on to. So the question is, how far do you go with that? So would you say that, okay, I'm giving you the words, but the lines in between are mine. So is that like another corner of the page? Well, presumably the nature of the question is that being that you cannot write with just black, you need the white spaces. So the white spaces that surround the words are presumably also part of the words. And the lines are presumably part of the words. So maybe that's also as if you're saying, I'm holding on to the get. So that Safe case is kind of weird and interesting. But just this din of if you're holding on to the niyar, so that's going to be a problem. Is there a machlokas here between Rashi and the Rambam on some fundamental level about what Nesina is? That's something we're going to have to be open to also. What did you?
The second case in the Gemara about I'm giving it to you but you need to give it back. So like what would the Rambam say about that? Yeah, are you with the Gemara?
Why it works?
Why it would work? Wouldn't he presumably say, no, it shouldn't work?
Is there some level of connection?
Right.
Now, it's interesting. We have to define what he means by the lack of process.
Right.
But presumably coming back isn't the same problem as not ever leaving in the first place. So while you're holding that's true, that I think it does need further definition, how he's identifying Christus here, and that does give us a little bit more contour to it. But on the surface, there's room to be machal. Eric?
And this wouldn't work in the first place, so I'm considering, is that it would not be in between like Rambam and Rashi, maybe like a fax. Like Rashi would say, oh, it's still physical document, so it's good. Rambam would say, well, we still hold on to the original copy, so maybe it's the original copy, so it's not good. Or
but
they're not working in the first place.
So that's itself interesting. And how would that be considered? Siva. There's a lot to figure out about.
Yeah, so I'm assuming it might not work in the first place. Then my email probably does work.
Right, text.
Right.
You probably need to actually...
Oh, well, these are some of the shayles we'll have to take a look at.
Yeah.
So there's a lot more. We're running out of time, so we'll have to continue this next time. But just on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, we were just looking at Chaf Amud Beis, and Chaf Amud Aleph is a major detail of what Venasa means, and it's a very confusing Gemara a little bit here about the role of Nesina in the middle of Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, and it's to do with the value of the get, the monetary value, and also the whole concept of the Surah Hana. So we'll have to start from there next time in terms of further defining. But let's just make sure we hold on to all of our issues that we're trying to figure out. So we gave a little bit of a recap of the first man, or a little bit of highlights from the first man in terms of what the Kasavla was telling us, and now we shifted over to Vinyasan, and we tried to understand what exactly is the Torah's message when it says that the divorce is going to require this Nesina. So is the Nesina a kinyan of some kind, which probably would be the most intuitive understanding on the surface, especially if you believe that divorce itself is a kinyan. So then maybe the idea is be makne her the get, but we're going to find several significant problems with that. The second possibility is that it's not referring to kinyan, it's referring to some other type of transfer for some other purpose. Maybe it's to inform her of something, possibly. We gave the muscle of the serving of a subpoena where you just try to stuff it into the guy's hands and make sure he knows about it, whether he wants it or not. And maybe a third possibility is that maybe the divorce really is in the ksiva, even more so than we saw last month, that it's not just splitting the duties, but that ksiva is really what it's all about. But it's not final, it's not real until it's actually transferred, and therefore this is just closing off the process, but the divorce actually is located mostly in the ksiva. So then we noted that there are at least two fundamental problems with every get here, based on the simple language, that if we assume there's a kinyan involved, so given that min ha-Torah, one can, but may not, but one can, divorce his wife, Bal Korcha, so how is that compatible at all? How can you have a kinyan when the other person doesn't want to? That's some fundamental in other areas of halacha we see that we require the das of the kone in every kinyan, and how could that be missing here? And then the issue that the Gemara brings up, that the concept of Gita V'yada Ba'in Ke'achad, that it should be technically impossible for a husband ever to give his wife something that he is separating from himself and giving to her. So how could that happen? And the Gemara gives us this quantum halacha physics issue that she acquires her independence and the get at the same time. So how does that work? Does that work for anything else? What exactly is happening there? That's majorly on our radar screen to figure out. And then in terms of dinim that we see from Vinasan, we talk maybe it's relevant to the fact that sefer doesn't have to be a sefer Torah, but it has to be something givable. We see here that the Gemara tells us it expands to include the idea that it doesn't have to be in her physical hand, it can be in her property or in her rishos. Rashi interestingly tells us that the derivation there is because of Vinasan biyada rather than biyadat tivnena, that if the word yad had come first, it would have meant literally hand, but since it comes afterwards, it's kind of a afterthought, and the ikar is the giving, not really in her hand. And I told you to look at the Yerushalmi that has a different type of drasha on this, but that's also derived from Vinasan, it expands things. You did your question about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's a because of law, so I can just say Vinasan law.
That what?
Like, what, when they just, like, not be deceivingly, like, compared.
Why shouldn't law be before?
No, I'm saying why be yada? Just right, be parallel to cause of law, Vinasan law. Because it's obviously being a little bit vague, be yada.
Well, law there is also for yichid.
If it could be a different, it could be a better word to use than be yada, like law or...
I mean, so why be yada then?
Yeah, I'm just saying
why be yada. But either way, that's itself interesting, what yad can tell us, but then we see that yad actually maybe is expansive rather than reductive. And then we're on the precipice of the next point, a very significant point, that on Daf Chaf Amud Aleph, the Gemara introduces in a complicated way the issue of monetary value and of the fact that a get could be kosher on Yisurei Hana, and what does that say about monetary value, and where does that fit into Nesina? So, God willing, we will pick up with that the next time we look at this. Do we have a volunteer to lead us in the interview of our lecture?